Give that to Bob. That was actually good. We want to make sure you got it too. You are not aware, Bob, of a dirt mineral that's pico-sized. What the ionic charge of a pico-sized dirt mineral is and its effect.
Mm-hmm.
We're not aware of a pico-sized dirt mineral.
Ion. The ion charge.
Is ion charge on the level of pico?
It's on the level of electron sharing.
Which
charges
is all,
and size are different.
Yeah.
Right. Charges and size.
But when we get into pico, we talk about ions. Are the charges on that level, or that's not comparable?
We could talk about ions at every level, Bob, but we're talking about how ions gauge are different from a regular atom and a pico-sized atom.
Right. We're talking about how ions differ. The charge differs,
Joe. No, not the ions. The charge differ because if the smaller it is, they still have to have electron bonds.
No, okay, electrons charge.
That takes place in the ion part of the cell. Well, the point is, just like your fusion. Now, Carolyn, we don't hear typing.
You mean cold play?
Oh, I'm done typing.
Fusion, you mean cold play?
In your fusion.
Yeah.
Give it to them all, Bob, so they don't have to ponder anything. So in your issue, if you found that the smaller a particle or concentrated or prolific a C122H197O985 or 6, then that would actually have enough accelerated ions. Now, Carolyn, you're not going to like this. To protonically, now we're not talking about the heart shit, but brimstone stuff, we're talking about the other kind. And we know you were going to raise hell, but that's why we were being clear. To protonically affect electron sharing output, which is, Bob, the first time a working definition for electricity.
Which is what we're coming up to, Carol. Did you get all those words, Carol?
Of course.
Could you repeat them? The definition of electricity is?
I'll come over and look at it.
I'm coming, eagerly.
Get a dish towel. He's coming, Carolyn.
Dish towel.
Get a beach towel.
Yeah, big towel from ICOM. From ICISM.
Just not those damn folded ones in the bathroom. We don't have them folded anymore.
Yeah, we don't. It's unfolded when I use it. So the point is, just like fusion in your issue, what's an issue, Carolyn? In your issue.
What we're working on.
No, if you found that the small particle, concentrated or prolific, the small is that the small particle? Concentrated or prolific to the...
What we're picoing.
Yes.
You find that the smaller particle, that means a pico particle,
mm-hmm.
concentrated or prolific, in that case...
With C122...
You would have enough accelerated ions protonically. Do you know what that means? Proton? Does that mean protons?
It must be working with protons, yeah.
To protonically affect electron sharing output.
Okay, so what's
happening
is...
this is the first time definition of electricity ion? This is the first time it's ever happened?
Protons get involved. Protons are getting involved, right, Ion?
With the electrons.
Yeah.
No. They get a lot... What do they get? With ions. See, ions are in between protons and electrons, Carol. So protons go to electrons through ion. Right, Ion?
Which sets an electrical charge, either AC or DC.
Right. See, ion is the facilitator. Carol, it's in between. It's
don't say facilitator, say the facilitation.
The facilitation.
Because if it were the facilitator, it would be the essence of a charge, and it's not.
Now, when we have the outer kingdom, does not connect with the inner kingdom, Carol, unless it goes through the middle kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So the middle kingdoms are like, in that metaphor, the ions.
Mm-hmm.
The protons don't affect the electrons. So, Ion, could we say that the protons, electrons, one is outer space and one is inner kingdom? Or that's not appropriate to match it that way?
That's old school. You don't have to call David Worster. He can help you with that.
He can. Is electricity imagination, as Dave Worster defined it in that video?
No.
Dave is wrong
no,
in his definition.
Ogs and the bogs. And
oh, the odd. Yeah, what do you call it? The ords. The insubordination.
It's the ood. It's the ood on Doctor Who. It's the ood. Now,
right.
We love us some Dave. And don't
no, you don't need to go in and apologize. We know we don't even believe your statements that you love
we
somebody.
We say what we want.
Okay, Carol, now I think we can go into what I was going to bring up, Carol. I'm going to bring up a point about this electricity. Okay, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go over and get my notes. Okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Look at this. So the proton is also stable by itself. Free protons are emitted directly in some rare types of radioactive decay, and result from the decay of free neutrons from other radioactivity. They soon pick up electrons and become neutral hydrogen. So you mean just any old proton can pick up an electron and become a hydrogen? Is that what's happening with the H197 ion?
No, that's why hydrogen is so plentiful, Carol. It's the first
outcome. That's what
outcome.
I'm asking. Is that true, ion?
Well, not H197, just hydrogen, Carolyn. Why are you going to H197? That's the half-life of the achieved hydrogen.
Stabilized. Let's talk about this ion.
Do it again.
Is this an important... Yeah, Bob, you ran right over it.
Yeah, be quiet. Don't bring me into it. Just go with the words.
Just looking at... the proton is a subatomic... hadron particle.
Oh, that's on my chart, Carol, the hadron. Oh, my God.
And a positive electric charge of one elementary charge.
Yeah.
One or more protons are present in the nucleus of each atom along with neutrons.
The proton subatomic hadron with the symbol and a positive electric charge of one. What's this positive electric charge?
The proton is also stable by itself. Free protons are emitted directly in some rare types of radioactivity and result from the decay of free neutrons from other radioactivity. They soon pick up an electron and become neutral hydrogen.
Yes,
so,
and your point is?
That's the beginning of matter.
That's the beginning of making of elements, Carolyn.
And is that the creation of all this excess hydrogen that Ion's talking about? Ion.
Well, we don't know we enjoyed the third-person references, but it's okay. It's all those words are perfect until you add H197 and negative pH. Because if you have negative pH, it would consume hydrogen, wouldn't it not?
All righty, okay.
That's the reason. This is the past. And that's the reason for the season, because what it negates to complete is how an electrical current, for example, shares, picks up, loses, adds to these individualized human strata that has an effect. For example, if you take a house that's on a grid that has electricity, the more you plug into your house, the more juice flows through your meter box. Yes, Carolyn?
The more you plug in. Mm-hmm.
So if you changed and you had some things that you plugged in, you plug up your computer to charge your battery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it worked the opposite way, and it from your chip body created electricity that you plugged into your post breaker, you could sustain that charge indefinitely as long as there was no break in the chain.
H197 is stabilized hydrogen, Carol?
Yes.
It's a stable thing, and that moves you toward, that is negative pH? Or it moves you towards negative pH?
Right, it moves you toward negative pH.
So let me bring in this thing, since we're talking about... He just described how electricity, again, got created, right?
More bad electricity, yeah.
So here is...
An ion is electricity, and everything's electricity.
Okay, so here's what I've been looking at the last couple of days, Carol. Electronegativity.
Hmm.
Let's see what these definitions do. Electronegativity is a chemical property that describes the tendency of an atom or a functional group to attract electrons or electron density towards itself, and thus the tendency to form negative ions. Hmm. So electronegativity ion would be a later phase of what you just described to Carolyn, or an earlier phase in the making of electricity.
Well, you'll have to read the tachyonic article to decide that, Bob. So the answer would be yes and yes.
Okay, so
both apply. They must. Otherwise, neither.
Both apply, being electronegativity and tachyons apply.
Yes.
So this making of the electrons, Carolyn, I mean the electron connecting with the hydrogen, the proton connecting with the electron through ion, it's via ion that you tap into the tachyonic.
Mm.
An ion is a particle when you don't know about the tachyonic. When you know about the tachyonic, the tachyons take over from the role of the ions.
Mm.
Would you agree with that statement, ion?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And look, it's tachyon. Ion's right in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, side thing. Ayn Rand, I was listening to a documentary about Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and we now will look up the article. I'll get the article from Chad.
And email it to me so
right.
I can read
so
it.
So where is it? It's
on your dupe short.
I remember saving it, but did I save it? Is this it? There it is. Hypothesis of tachyonic neutrinos. So we would go to the summary at the bottom.
And neutrinos, remember the other minute you were talking about how aren't neutrinos ascended particles? Are neutrinos ascended particles?
Oh, yeah, they represent the ascended person because this is all humans describing themselves and their behavior or fallenness. And a neutrino represents the human who is beginning to be ascended and not affected.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the ionettes hiding out from social life. They don't get charged. They don't get sharing electrons.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The summary of this article, the electron energy spectrum from tritium decay with a tachyonic neutrino. So neutrinos are involved with tachyon, the tachyonic?
They would be, yes.
So when they're talking about neutrinos going faster than speed of light, they're talking about the tachyonic, Carolyn. I didn't know that. With a tachyonic neutrino, ends with a step. That would be a modulated half-step ion?
It would be a half-step modulation.
Yeah, half-step on the musical.
But for frequency-wise, that's why we're trying to bring this in right here, right now, so Carolyn has something to work against or to, so that she can get this the magnetism aspect of having good access to what she's wanting to test, or that it would be tested. If you're doing it with the least in the kingdom and they survive, everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
What were we just talking about, Carol? He went off talking and tacking.
I think testing things
on. No, neutrino, and then there was a word. I threw in half-step modulation. Is that a musical thing, Carol? Ian's always saying that when he's talking to musicians.
It would be.
Is it a kind of a rhythm?
No, it's a half step between C is a key.
Yeah.
C sharp would be a half step modulation.
Oh.
And then you get to the next C, F, C, G, whatever the next key is. The flats and the sharps in between are the half step modulations.
Very good.
And what are they? A beat? No, it's a sound. It's a note level. It's a voice level, right, Carolyn? You have a key, and then you have a C sharp, that's a half-step modulation. I always thought with the word step that I was describing rhythmic stuff. No, it's voice. Okay, this feature explains excess of accounts observed in the vicinity of the endpoint in all recent experiments. Our prediction for the shape of this excess, see, they're looking for the shape count, shows a high similarity as compared to experimental data. Results of an analysis performed on simulated data show that rising counting rate at lower energies is not of a physical origin, being an artifact of the fitting procedure, Carol.
Mm.
If neutrinos were tachyons, then a conclusion fundamental for the theory of weak interactions would follow. since the tachyonic neutrino field is an eigenvector of the helicity operator with the eigenvalue 1/2, there's your half step, Karen.
Mm.
Therefore, helicity coupling offers a natural explanation of the V minus A structure of the weak leptonic current. Do you know what the V minus A structure is, Ion? What that's referring to? Capital V minus capital A? Do you know what that's referring to, Ion?
Mm.
In their term.
Yeah.
Would you care to say what it refers to?
Okay. Ask it from your perspective so we don't throw you off the wagon.
It's a natural explanation. The helicity coupling offers a natural explanation of the V to A structure of the weak leptonic current. So,
velocity,
what was the V in?
Velocity and amplitude.
Oh, okay, very good. See, there's no speed count. There's only velocity and amplitude.
And that's the reason we wanted you to redo it, because if we just said that, you wouldn't have applied it.
Well, I don't. You just did say it. In my mind, you just did say it.
But we did just say it. But if you hadn't get the construct of exactly what you were asking,
and how did I do that? By rereading the sentence.
By
that's all I did.
Reading the sentence and
okay.
Knew exactly what you were talking about from the words, and then applied an answer.
Basing on Troitsk results, Figure 4, we estimate the value of the tachyonic anti-neutrino mass to be 5 eV. So there's is this like an attempt to prove that there are tachyons, or that they're tachyons?
It's a formula that you use to gauge its outcome.
Right. So, a lot of formulas here.
Same thing Carolyn's trying to do.
About the PICO. And in the PICO is involved with tachyonic neutrino factors? It's the same thing or a different attack
problem? Don't screw it up. You were good enough the first time. The first time you said, does it have something to do with it? And yes, but it's not that. It just has something to do with that.
Yeah, it's not. Could we call this one's physics and one's chemistry?
Oh, hell no. You could call one goulash and the other succotash, but wouldn't mean anything.
Well, why are they a different thing? Is there a difference? Is there a factor that makes them appear different?
No. They're just different. They don't appear different. They are different.
So scientists are looking at different things. Or
science is looking at everything. So
right, it's two different things.
That's right. That's right. Now, you can use them both in the same sentence, but they're not comparatively equatable.
So what do you think? What do you say, Carol? Is there time... Is there this tachyonic things already happened, Carolyn? Is that what we have to consider as we make the eye block and the get negative pH and RNA drops and the cancer treatment? These are things we're tapping into substance with the eye cell that are tachyonic. Would you agree with that, Ian? That the eye cell involves the tachyonic?
If it listened to you, then get your D cell. That should have done it for you. Tachyonically, your D cell should have done it for you.
Tachyonically.
Well, if
and it probably did for one.
It should have done what count? Been everything?
I guess.
Well, if you get into the tachyonic, is everything translatable into everything else, like the Shmoo and Al Capp's cartoon strip?
It already is.
It already is everything else. Synesthesia is a poor man's version of that.
Fine.
A little man's version of the tachyonic. Well, the tachyonic
so
Shmoo.
Funny.
The tachyonic Shmoo.
It's
just due to image overload, Carolyn, and remembering half the images. But now, if we go back to electronegativity, Carolyn, and what is that? Is that a subset of something, Carolyn, electronegativity? Is that the bottom of things? Here's what it says. Electronegativity, as is usually calculated, is not strictly a property of an atom, but rather a property of an atom in a molecule. So you have to get the atom inside the molecule. Properties of a free atom include ionization energy and electron affinity. it is to be expected that the electronegativity of an element will vary with its chemical environment, but is usually considered to be a transferable property. That is to say that similar values will be valid in a variety of situations. So ion electronegativity is a limited condition compared to the free atom that includes ionization.
Good. And you got to place those electrons somewhere. That's why they would choose that particular rendition, Bob.
The rendition being the term electronegativity.
Yes.
Right. So they come up with these subsets because they have to place things, Carolyn. So what was the original? The original thing was the sharing of electrons, covalent bonding. And they do mention covalent bonding here. Linus Pauling developed the valence bond theory. Right? See? Mm-hmm. And what is the role of negative ions, ion, in relation to the tachyon? Any connection?
Well, we would have to say, obviously, just don't get stuck.
Yeah. So what to not
see,
be stuck?
We'll answer the questions. That's not a problem. But then you go back and read a bunch more words and say, aha, ion said this. But it's just the literal aspect that you're asking. It's not a deep thing.
Right.
We don't mind answering. I mean, you know our world.
Well, tachyon, Carolyn, says that things have already happened. So you're catching up to what already happened and making these patents. And are you moving towards explaining that when you're dealing with defining Pico?
Hell no. Explaining nothing.
Okay, Karen, you can take it over. I run out of terms here.
The testing
Okay, no, here it is, Karen. Okay, I think I can come up with this. Hold your, got your question? The testing,
of course.
Got that? Okay, ion. Electricity, okay. It begins with electricity. But our visualizations of electricity, like lightning, I guess lightning is our only visualization of electricity, Carolyn, or some weird thing on a computer screen, a wiggly sign or something. These are not what electricity is, ion. They are not our visualizations of them. But if we began Genesis, Carolyn, when we do the book, and we say in the beginning is the word, correct me, ion, when I say the word was electricity or is electricity. What's the correct on that statement, and what's the left out?
Nothing out. It's fine.
It's fine.
The word is electricity.
Yeah, in the beginning was electricity. Mm-hmm. So what is electricity? It involves the electricity is kind of like the fall, where you drop out of tachyonic awareness into time awareness, and that'll create a difference a difference tone, to quote Gail Young.
Well, Pauline Oliveros. An indifferent tone.
Indifferent tone. That's what's actually called, Karen. I think it's an N or N. The letter N? N difference? Or are you saying indifference tone?
Indifference, yes.
N is in.
And if you need more reference, then just go.
No, I'm not getting you. Are you saying the letter N or IN difference?
N.
Indifference? IN. So you go in when you that gets into the N thing. Is it indifference, IN, or N, just the letter N difference?
The letter N difference is not a word.
Yeah,
why
N is a term in mathematics. That, you know, put in anything. That he meant that. He means IN. Okay, an indifference tone. Well, you know, that's neutrino. It kind of doesn't connect. See, anyways, electricity, ion, electricity. Is the first level, the highest level of the fallen state. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. And
tachyon is the ascended level.
No, tachyons are in electricity. Because it's
certainly
the measurement of anything, Carolyn, like, oh, we got electricity, is a fallen state.
Mm-hmm.
The ascended person doesn't measure anything, doesn't care, right? There's no concepts. But once you start having concepts, you're getting into a fallen state. And the first concepts are not being affected by things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, obviously.
Yeah, because but you got a problem, so you're trying not to be affected by it, and so mm-hmm. you're a higher person, ascended, if you're not affected. Mm-hmm. Those psychological kind of conditions are what neutrinos are. They're and tachyons.
No, you said tachyons were part of electricity.
Yes.
If electricity is the highest order of fallen state, tachyons have to be something different.
No, tachyons are part of the highest order. They're the parts of electricity. You got mm-hmm. electricity, and then what's it made up of? The already been, already happened, mm-hmm. the tachyons. And then the neutrinos are up at that level. And then you fall down to protons and electrons.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So you could actually say the tachyon is the coathonites, and the Sumerians are neutrinos, and Israel is protons, electrons. You like that, Ian?
No.
Yeah. You see? So it's human behavior that these little particles are imitating.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you present RNA drops or the cancer treatment, the scientists cannot accept it. They mm-hmm. need to talk about abstractions. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna get on the blackboard and try to explain what is happening to the patients in these terms.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, were neutrinos, tachyons, or coathonites? Neutrinos were which?
Sumerians. They were quite still connected. And then who was the Natsum? It's S-A, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the electrons are Samaritans. That's later. Mm-hmm. And protons are Israelites. You can make the electron in one. The point is, what is there a stage before that ion? Babylonians? Babylonians would be protons.
Sumerian, yeah.
What?
Sumerian, yeah.
Sumerians is lower than coathonites.
No, they were simultaneously there and never separated from their power.
Right, and then I'm talking about Israelites, protons, electrons, that's a bit more separated. Who... They're not Sumeritans, Carolyn. It's S-A.
Electrons are Sumeritans.
Yeah, S-A. But I'm just taking, is it Babylonian? What ancient civilization? Audubon Empire, which Egyptians? Do you see
the Audubon Society?
No. Ion, do you see what I mean? The ones who are more fallen than the Sumerians would be the Egyptians, Ion? Yeah, it's Moses building the pyramids and all that.
Good.
Yeah, so the Egyptians, Carolyn, are the, you could say electrons, protons are Egyptians and Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so the proton connects to the electron, so the electron would be the Israelite, Israel, that's Moses, and the Egyptians are protons through the ion, and the ion would be the Sumerians, the Moabites. The Moabites are important in there. So ions are Moabites, right, Ion? In this ratio, in this fake map. Or, you know, game map. You get that? I think the Moabites were important on the way to Israel.
You think?
Yeah, and so they would be the ions, count. The Moabites are ions, and they help the translation from Egypt, protons, to electrons, which are Israelites. Israelites are ones who leave Egypt, Carolyn.
How does your mind grasp all this complexity?
I'm just looking at human behavior. Human behavior, and knowing the names, electron protons, are really just saying Billy and Sally and Sammy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing. But when you meet a scientist, he can't talk to you directly. He can't accept what you've made. He's mm-hmm. got to talk about maps of genealogy,
mm-hmm.
which he calls science.
All right.
It's like talking to, well, who would it be like? You tell, when you give a lecture to someone, Carolyn, or a patient, they spend a lot of time asking what you meant and,
mm-hmm.
and not really getting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what scientists are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Ian, do you accept those little metaphors, even though they suck?
They're fine.
Because what I always think about how Ion and his cold fusion first broadcast on April 5th or April 6th, he
mm-hmm.
talked about the abject something in the cold fusion battery.
Mm-hmm.
He brought in a
mm-hmm.
psychological characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
All inventions are anthropomorphic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why I find it interesting to read these definitions.
Mm.
I look at them and think of the human behavior thing as I'm reading about electrons,
right.
protons. That's the only way to make it interesting.
Right.
Okay.
So sugar, what would be sugar for Carolyn? Sugar is John Larmer. So Carolyn avoided John Larmer because he represented those guys who went into regular, inefficient medicine.
Good.
And would not deal with the Joe Dunsloan kind of medicine that Carolyn liked. You see what I'm saying, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
The differences between people are why there are differences in matter.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Very good.
Is there electropositivity? You know, the electron negative.
I know, I was wondering that. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is. I think it's just electronegativity to be a condition.
Well.
Electropositivity.
Okay, now let's go
yeah.
up. To, oh, there, oh.
Electropositivity.
So let's go to the level of, we got the charges, Carolyn, right? The charges, the ions, the protons.
Uh-huh.
And we described how a hydrogen is made.
Mm-hmm.
Is there H in an amino acid? What atoms are
say
in
little,
an amino
acid? Say a little bit more because we'll answer it and it'll undo more than it gets you to.
Right. You see, we're with the electron protons, and then they combine to make a hydrogen. And then there'll be other kinds of combinations to make a nitrogen, a carbon, and an oxygen, right?
Uh-huh.
So what is the elemental con? You put a bunch of those together, you get an amino acid. So you move to the amino acid, which is a little more condensation of matter, right? Amino acid is not on the level of electrons.
Right.
So,
no.
So what are the molecules that amino acids are made up of?
Carry information.
Carbon.
What'd you say, Ian?
Carving their likeness.
Carving their likeness. That's the sculpting effect, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
The shaping is what...
So it's like carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen.
Yeah, before you get to proteins.
Good.
So you start combining these elements, and,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets a little more solid, so it's amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
And can we then triangulate in the nucleus? You got the amino acids, which is not inside the genome. That's the nucleic acid.
Yeah.
But there's a thin membrane ion, right? The amino acids interact with the nucleic acids. Would you agree, Ion? Or are they separate levels and don't interact?
Look, this is the basic form of it. Hydrogen, carbon, oxygen.
This is the four things.
And nitrogen, and then an R group can be added to it. Yeah.
What is an R group? Another, the same thing? A side chain?
Sulfur or a methyl group.
To make a different amino acid.
Correct. But that's your basic.
Look, it's five parts. It's a pentad. Is it important? Is it useful to look at that as a pentad ion? Two C's, two O's, and an N. Ryan, is that useful to think of it as a pentad or not relevant?
Not earth-shattering either way.
Right.
But if you're looking at it trying to validate it, it's a place to start. But by the time the energy it takes for you to figure it out, you moved.
Yeah. So by the time you figure it out, you've gone into another context.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the basic shape or the... Now, who we're talking to, is playing with the chip body,
mm-hmm.
is ion shaping electricity? You know, if
mm-hmm.
everything is electricity, what is non-physical? Is it part of electricity? And what is it if it's shaping electricity? So, ion, are you part of electricity or some way of...
I would say we are electricity, but that might be a stretch for little fellers.
Right, because they can't take that, they can look at you as a shaper of electricity, allowing you to play in any form in the electric technology, right? It's the shaping factor they might accept. And did you see in that definition, you know, Ian said shaping, sculpting.
Mm-hmm.
You get my, you like that, Ian? Or you accept that? Any objections to you shape electricity? And when we were doing the brain a couple of years ago, Ion, on top of the gray matter and the pipes and the thought going through and all that, the thing that was left out, what I couldn't get, was the fact of electricity.
Mm.
Electricity was actually the container for the gray matter, the pipes, and the thought. All were different aspects of electricity.
Mm.
Would you agree with that, Ion? Would you, did I say a what or something? Would you agree with that, Ion?
We could. We could embrace it, yes.
So when we say humans create things, Carolyn, the human is electricity, but there's a part of the human that shapes things.
Mm-hmm.
So humans came before electricity, or electricity is the closest image of the first thing, like human being. And a human being is not his bodies, it's a being. An essence, a willful essence. Right, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
Because if Ion is electricity, and electricity, and Ion's non-physical, then electricity is the beginning of a fallen state. The thing that falls is prior to electricity, and it has no characteristics. That's what we call
right.
human. That's Angela's void. Humans are void. She has her emails, void originator.
Really?
Yeah. So when you fall, Ion, the first fall, the beginning of the fall, is a vacuum has been created.
Very good.
Now, is that a black hole? A vacuum is a black hole? I think Ion told us before the vacuum is at the end of the black hole.
That was last week. When you achieve the singularity, the vacuum is complete.
Yeah, a human is complete singular. So singularity is arriving back at ascension.
Okay, perfect, yeah.
And that would be pre-electricity. Yeah, if we say the electricity is the first phase of falling from the ascension, Carol. So, Ion, if, and someone listening to this would say we are the void, we came from the void, and Angela would say that. Is there another new way, what words and new words we can say to bypass all the baggage that comes with the word void, to talk about the condition before electricity of being ascended human? Eternalness. Right. Eternalness precedes the void, Carol. No, the void is what eternalness refers to. What are you laughing at?
You're so proud of
yourself. Hey, Ion, we're getting somewhere. Carol's taking notes. She's typing when I'm talking.
Yeah. Rare.
So, Carol, when you talk about these terms, carbon, hydrogen, you're playing a game. You're making up a story.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a consolidated story around
you. Same with building blocks.
Yes, that the scientists require knowing or understanding what you do with those building blocks. So the thing we learn from the change of our time, the diminishing of oxygen, is oxygen displace or disappear, Ion, as hydrogen H197 expands? Does it disappear?
No, it becomes a qualifier.
That means it's still around? Could these be carbon, hydrogen, oxygen count? You've got hydrogen forms when the electron and proton connect through the ion, right? Hydrogen is created. Which is the next one that's created? Carbon, oxygen, or nitrogen? I bet you oxygen is the fourth. You get your triangle, hydrogen, carbon, and nitrogen. That's real. Then you get the screw-up, oxygen. What do you think, Ion?
Very good.
So there's a pecking order on those, in the metaphor of the elements.
Right.
In the sense of oxygen is the next fallen state. The triangle of hydrogen, carbon, and nitrogen is the first higher fallen state. Right. It's at the electron Egyptian Israeli order of electron protons. Right. So, oxygen would be the Canaanites, the giants. Who already were there. Do you remember when they encountered the Canaanites and that was a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Oxygen is some kind of lower state from the first triangle. because we're always going
into
complicated nonsense. So, Carol, how does a hydrogen table, how does a table look like? The periodic table.
Let's dial it up.
See if this... I was thinking earlier that Ginny, me, Carolyn, not so much Carolyn, Sasha, us ones who never got scientific training, if we know these basics, we can quickly, pretty quickly learn the language, as I've been doing the last few weeks, and Ginny and Sasha are doing, so that we can talk their language, right? We can engage. We're not confused because we have a larger framework so that we can be more playful with the words of science. You agree with that, Aya? We can all sound pretty intelligent to a scientist after a while.
Good.
Because the ion has given us a framework past that. So you got one, and then two is lithium and barium, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they be three and four?
Beryllium.
Oh, no, helium is over here. Helium.
Mm-hmm.
Then lithium? Why is lithium number three? Or is this order of this periodic table to be taken seriously, Ion? It's not really accurate.
Is it usually the number of protons and electrons?
That determines the order of the names.
I think not so.
The hierarchy or the creation of them.
Mm-mm.
But you see, carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen are in the early phases.
But look at this. This is the first time I've ever noticed this.
A dot?
There's 54, 55, 56. There's no 57 to 71. Tell us what's going to go in there. Are we going to find those elements now, Ion?
Well, if we say yes, okay, then there's an outcome. And if we says no, then there's an outcome. We would maybe say, get it set the way you like it and let the rest of it go.
In other words, don't rely too much on this table. It's going to fall away.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You can use it, for example, but don't dare predicate it on it because then it won't fly at all.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say a few weeks ago, Karen, you're going to make a new table?
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So don't fit it into their old table because it's all going to change anyway.
So becoming aware of H197 is part of, remember the first terms we used 2.5 years ago, thinning of the veil. The thinning of the veil changes matter, correct, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
See, so the actual psychological or perceptual issue of humans coming into their power changes the wordings.
Mm-hmm.
But not just the wordings, it changes the food we eat. And so when you have made, because of thin the veil, RNA drops, that opens up the possibility of changing the diagram. Only because you have the substance to eat. Because the substance come with the larger change, Carolyn, of the thinning of the veil. So we've learned, big pardon, Ian?
Good.
Yeah. So the thinning of the veil, remember, is what's going on, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have learned to relate to different parts of society's disciplines and came up with substances like the cold fusion, cold play, and RNA drops and the iCell to give subject derivative jargon to notice the thinning of the veil.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the iCell on this hierarchy? The iCell is the God particle. It is the ascended state. It's prior the tachyon and neutrino ion. Are you thinking or do you want me to restate it?
Restate it.
The iCell, Carolyn, is the completion of the, you remember.
Well,
you,
as long as it binds, see, if it doesn't bind, it's not complete.
Ah, that's the bonding of heaven and earth, Carolyn.
Good.
Right?
Mm.
And so the iCell is the bonding of heaven and earth. The rebonding, or the bonding that always was there. And of course, that's no time and all that stuff. And yet they're going to come up with particles like that go faster than time or already existed before us, like the tachyons. Those are attempts to conceptualize the bonding. But the eye cell does the bonding.
Mm-hmm.
So the eye cell is the bonding heaven and earth. That is ionic bonding. I don't think it's covalent bonding. Or is it a third bonding, isomorphic bonding?
Nope.
Is it, you wouldn't put covalent or ionic in the bonding of the eye cell, right? It's a bigger bonding.
Good, very good.
It's pure bonding, Carolyn. Now, the eye cell has arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So did the veil complete its thinning in the Jubilee year?
Bob.
What, are you going to go into the fact there's no time ion?
Well,
I'm thinking that this is the transformative year, Carol. The eye cell showed up this year. The eye block, all these things showed up in the Jubilee year, or the year of the Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
So the bonding of heaven and earth happens in the Jubilee year, ion? Or is that the hexadic, and which is a transformer, not the octet? So let's get, now you can bring in the word octet, Carol. The eye cell is obviously the octet level. The way we're talking about the neutrino and the tachyon would be the septad or the hexad level ion?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they're not the octad. Eye cell reality is the octad.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you've got your eye blocks making endless energy and eating the living bread and water. That's octad living. The year of Jubilee is hexadic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the transformative year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've tired Carol out.
Good. Well, off then.
Off? Off we go?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Carol? That was too lofty of notions?
Pretty lofty. I'm thinking all the way along. Well, I'm going to have to re-listen to that sentence. Oh, there's another sentence.
Well, okay, what's curious to me, Carol?
Never mind.
No, here's
I'll
what
listen
I'm,
to it.
I know. What's curious to me? You like the specifics. You know, Ian's always explained the difference between me and you. You're good at the big picture. I'm good at something else. But I'm talking the big picture, what I think is the big picture, and it makes you tired. And it looks like you like the particulars, not the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I missing here, Ian? Because you said Carol's good at synthesizing.
I'm more into applying it.
Applying
this flyer. Can't be applied. You can't make something out of this and give it to someone. You can't. It's not practical.
You know what I'm talking about? Then what this is the thinking you get once you're stoned on the eye cell. You make the eye cell, and then people in phase three try to figure out where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
My terms help you think about where you're at after you've been affected by the substance.
Because
you're working through old concepts and old things, and trying to, like Ginny does and Sue does, they try to define where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't got words to say where they're at, they're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm providing the words to the effect that your product created.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference, Ion. You accept that?
Sure.
Right. So what is a symptom that someone that's taking RNA drops that is very strange, that's unique? We've heard people report different things. Is there one that's interesting, that's strange?
Well, that got herpes, un-got herpes.
Yeah.
Got it again.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's pretty prolific.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him trying to figure out in stage three whether to accept it or not. That they're gone.
Well, no, it's actually empowering his RNA. He's charging his RNA to have great benefit.
Yeah, by stopping it, and then it comes back stronger.
Right. That's how he kept the power in the Ark of the Covenant in the first place.
Right. That's how he kept the power in the Ark of the Covenant by... Well, no, that was displacing your power.
Well, if you're taking a substance and you have an outcome, and then if you stop it and you get the palsy back, that's putting power in the substance.
So that is what, that was how the Ark of the Covenant was formed, that on and off, that going away, no need of it, and then thinking we need it and checking.
No, it's keep making, it makes the RNA drops more powerful than he, than you.
Right, and that's the, that is the Ark of the Covenant archetypal syndrome.
It keep, and that's how the Ark of the Covenant keeps its power. What we
right.
want is we want to get the power out of the drops, out of the Ark, and into you.
Okay, but Ian says you need the RNA drops to get hydraulic jacked up, get going.
Well,
but you move,
because yes, it's an action. It's an action that you use to autonomically get it out. That's the first way to get the power back out of the Ark into you.
Right, but you're saying that one should eventually not have the RNA drops, even though you
no,
say you can.
That you would take it as just something delicious you enjoy.
Right, not for
get,
beneficial.
Not to get shed of the damn herpes.
Not as a healer.
Right, right. Which I feel that's what I'm taking it with that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it.
We know, and it's working, Bob. You're doing well.
Yeah. Okay,
you're almost tolerable now.
Right. So the
almost,
not completely. Oh damn, had new topic there, Carol.
Well, if it's a new topic,
oh,
then
yeah.
you already knew.
Right. So here's something I knew. I had an interesting talk with Iona Miller yesterday. And she told me about the Drakenberg dynasties. Now, this is all nutty stuff, but let's just bounce off it. It says, the Dragon Court is a libertarian collective founded upon the principles of friendship, brotherhood, free will, collective work, and decision. Its aim is to preserve and renew
Boy,
the loyal...
Those are all oxymorons. They, one
yep.
of these things is not like the other. Go ahead.
Yeah, its aim is to preserve and renew the royal dragon bloodline and cultural heritage while reviving the memory of events from dragon history and of meritorious dragons known as the princes of the royal seed. The basic scenario is the Anunnaki who come from some other galaxy. Right? They come, and we know this is nutty, but I want to lead to something. The Anunnaki came, and they enslaved the humans around here, and they kept their bloodline going. And some humans have the blood in them. And so the Anunnaki originals are called dragons. Now, Ion has hinted at the bloodline. Is there any factor about bloodline mythology that is true? Is the 418 group a bloodline? Are
no.
the royal houses a bloodline?
Yes.
The 418 are, but there is a bloodline accounting that goes on, you know.
Well,
sure.
yeah, if you go into the Coathanites, yes.
Oh, yeah, the Coathanites, that's the bloodline. And so, but the 418 group is not involved in measuring that.
Nope.
But there are people on the planet who keep track of who they are, the bloodline. Do they have any advantage in understanding the present? Do they eat the shoe
no.
bread?
No, that has nothing to do with it. Because, see, if you're in the bloodline, you are whether you know it or not. So the knowing is no more substantial than not knowing.
Right. No, nothing better, nothing accrues to you
it's
if you
only
know
only
it.
If you're trying to prove, Pico, that it matters that you know. But if you don't
yeah, prove
have to
Pico.
Do that,
now get that
don't have to, if you don't have to do that, then it matters not.
If you're trying to prove something, like Carol's trying to prove Pico, that's to put significance, to get to a singularity.
It's a ramification of effects preceding cause.
Okay, effects preceding causes. That sounds like a way of looking at the tachyonic. Effects preceding the causes.
Well, you use that as
but the causes are tachyonic, aren't they? Tachyons
yes,
are causes, right, Ion?
Yes, but if a tachyon can get you to the place where you get it, whoopee, we don't care what you call it. You got there.
Right. But you were juxtaposing the other day, cause, effect.
Well, we were playing with that. That was a different construct. That was that instead of effects precedes cause, we say cause, effects.
When you're dealing with past, present, future, the felonious false fallacies of time, within that fallacy, you look at effects precede causes. That's the future placing things in the past for our now, correct?
Yes. And once you get what we're saying, then you'll know that cause effects.
Cause effects. And would cause be your words or anything?
Whatever your old shit was, this is just new. This is old shit put out in a new shit way.
Yeah, cause effect is it's like trying to get to the octad. Cause effect is octad. Pentad is
effects precede
cause. Yeah, and frequency, magnitude, polarity.
No, that's now.
That's more important.
That's pretty up the scale, Bob.
That's more important.
That's not stupid, ridiculous five-body crap.
Right. Okay.